Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our Bible study on the Church at Thyatira. And what we're doing is we're getting to know Jezebel, that false prophetess who was influencing the church at Thyatira. We're getting to know her a little bit better. We're getting to know her strategies so that we can watch out for them. We should not be fools in the things concerning God. We have to be wise, we have to be perceptive, and we have to see deception for what it is and be able to throw it away, to be able to tear down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So let's get to know her deceptive teachings a little bit more, her false prophecies a little bit more. We can see that Jezebel had a very strong and ungodly influence on the Thyatiran brethren, and that's what made them more of a Christian club than a Christian congregation. They were just kind of clubbing together under the name of Christianity instead of following the one true God. So again, let's analyze how this retrogressed so that we can ensure that it doesn't happen to whatever congregations we attend. This Jezebel of a woman seductively taught the congregation two things. All right, if you're taking notes, please write this down. Because Jezebel, this woman who called herself a prophetess, but who obviously was not inspired by God, therefore she was a false prophet, she seductively taught the congregation two things. Number one, she taught that it's all right to commit fornication. That's the first thing she taught, that it's all right to commit fornication. The second thing she taught is that it's all right to eat meat offered to idols. And this second one, you're probably thinking, well, you know, that doesn't happen anymore today. Nobody goes around saying that this meat was offered to idols and it's okay to eat it. Well, obviously, you know, this is in the book of Revelation. And this has a lot of spiritual significance that goes much deeper than what you see on the surface. So the second thing, though, again, is that she taught that it's all right to eat meat offered to idols. So let's investigate both of these. In regards to both problems, they could have a literal and a spiritual fulfillment. So for both things, that it's all right to commit fornication and it's all right to eat meat offered to idols, for both of those problems, they could have a literal and a spiritual fulfillment. Taken literally, people had sex with one another outside of marriage, and people ate food offered to idols. That's as simple as it is if it's talking about something physically. That physically, people had sex with one another outside of marriage, and any sex that's outside of marriage is wrong. Any sex outside of marriage is wrong. God is the one who created us, male and female. God is the one who created the institution of marriage. God knows about our sexual parts. God knows the purpose of marriage. God says that sex outside of marriage is a sin. It's wrong. And then the second thing, if it's taken literally, is that people ate food offered to idols. Now, taken spiritually, again, there's a much, much deeper meaning here. Taken spiritually, if it comes to committing fornication, it means that people worshiped false gods. And when it comes to eating meat offered to idols, it means that people worshiped the true God, but with false doctrines. So let's analyze several scriptures pertaining to these two problems in order to get a handle on them. First, we're going to talk about committing fornication, and we're going to talk about the spiritual application of this. Later, we'll talk about the physical application of this. But right now, we're going to talk about committing fornication and the spiritual application of it. As we'll see in the following passages, committing spiritual fornication is committing idolatry. I'll repeat that. Committing spiritual fornication is committing idolatry. It's going after false gods. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. This is not 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. This is 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. So this is right after the Book of Kings. So after Judges and then Kings comes the Book of Chronicles. The second Book of Chronicles, chapter 21, and verses 5 through 6. And then we'll read verses 11 through 14, starting in verse 5. Jehoram walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like the house of Ahab, for he had one of Ahab's daughters, and he did the evil, all the evil that his father Ahab did. He did the same thing in the eyes of Yahweh. Besides that, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the people of Jerusalem to do what? To commit fornication, and he led astray Judah. Therefore Elijah the prophet wrote to him, saying, So says Yahweh, the God of David your father, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but instead have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have made Judah and the people of Jerusalem to act like a whore, like the fornications of the house of Ahab, and have also killed your brothers of your father's house, behold, because you have done this, Yahweh will strike your people with a great plague. And most of the kings of Israel were idolaters. This was a king of Judah, but most of the kings of Israel, whether it was the northern house of Israel or the southern house of Israel, were idolaters. The worst of the kings of Israel was Ahab, and he was spurred on by his wife Jezebel. We read that in a previous program, but let's read that again here. This is in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verses 30 through 33. This is 1 Kings chapter 16 and verses 30 through 33. And the reason why we're reading this one again is because our previous scripture that we read was about Jehoram, and it said that he caused the people of Jerusalem to act like a whore, like the fornications of the house of Ahab. So if we want to see what the fornications of the house of Ahab were like, that Jehoram caused the people of Jerusalem to commit, then we should read the story about Ahab. So here we have it in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verses 30 through 33. It says that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. So you see how this committing fornication is idolatry, because Ahab actually led the people away from the worship of Yahweh into the worship of Baal. And it says he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And now we have in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25 something about his wife Jezebel. This is in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. It says of Jezebel, But there was none like Ahab, who sold himself to work wickedness in the sight of Jehovah, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. So she was the real person behind the scenes that was stirring up all of this idolatrous worship. And now let's turn to Exodus chapter 34 and verses 12 through 16. This is Exodus chapter 34 and verses 12 through 16. And what we're trying to prove here is that committing fornication in its spiritual application is the equivalent of committing idolatry. So spiritually speaking, committing fornication is committing idolatry. That's the point we're proving here. So in Exodus chapter 34 and 12 through 16, it says, Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the people of the land wherever you go, lest it be a snare in the midst of you. You shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their sacred poles. You shall worship no other god. For Jehovah, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and don't go whoring, all right, don't go whoring or committing fornication, don't go whoring after their gods and do sacrifice to their gods. Don't take their daughters for your sons, because their daughters will go whoring after their gods and make your sons go whoring after their gods. And that's exactly what happened to Ahab, king of Israel, when he married Jezebel, who was from a pagan system. She introduced the pagan system to Israel, and then one of Ahab's and Jezebel's daughters married a king of Judah, who was Jehoram, that we read about previously. And then this daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, who married Jehoram, influenced Jehoram to lead the kingdom of Judah into idolatry. So truly, Jezebel influenced both the northern house of Israel and the southern house of Judah, or in other words, all 12 of the tribes of Israel, to leave the worship of Yahweh and to follow the worship of a false god, Baal. And now we'll read two more scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 23 and verse 17 is our next scripture. Isaiah chapter 23, verse 17. Here it says, "It shall come to pass after 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and Tyre shall return to her merchants to commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world." So here we see that committing fornication is talked about in a way that Tyre shall do business with people of the world. They're going to mix together to do business. So this mixing together is like committing fornication. And Tyre mixed together with all the kingdoms of the world to do business. And then finally, we have in Revelation chapter 18 and verses 2 through 3, another description of committing fornication, showing that it's talking about idolatrous practices. This is in Revelation chapter 18 and verses 2 through 3. Here it says, "The angel of the Lord cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and it has become the dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a cage of every unclean bird, which has been hated because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, which all the nations have drunk. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her luxury." So there you have it, from a multitude of scriptures, that spiritually speaking, when a person commits fornication, they are committing idolatry. In our next program, we're going to talk about committing fornication, but we're going to show the literal application of that. Thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.